Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's talk to Adam Teicher from ESPN about the Chiefs. Hello, Adam. How are you?
How are you guys doing today?
Doing very well. Thank you so much for the time. Let's start with Chris Jones news. Chris Jones had a big autograph signing and meet and greet on Friday. He's been very active on Twitter again. A lot of positive stuff coming out. And I know that many people on Twitter are trying to read into that. But Jeremy Fowler from ESPN reported that Chris Jones and the Chiefs are talking ahead of Wednesday's 3 o'clock Central deadline. Adam Teicher, is there any more optimism on your part that the Chiefs and Chris Jones could actually get something done before Wednesday's deadline?
Yeah, well, I mean, since they're talking, that's at least some reason for optimism. You know, you just know that the both sides, they had a lot of ground to cover if they were going to find an agreement for a long-term deal. So, you know, again, either one side's going to have to come a long way or they're going to have to meet in the middle, each come a pretty good ways and meet in the middle for this thing to happen. But if they're talking, that's, you know, obviously a good sign.
So Adam, like when it comes to when we use the word long term deal, how long of a term is realistic to think they could actually work out a deal with Chris Jones?
Well, you know they can do a number of different things. I mean, you know, as we know, Pat Mahomes' new contract kind of leaves him some wiggle room in the short term. So you know, they could go for a couple of years, 3 years. I mean, they could do a number of different things here. You know, anything beyond the one-year deal that the Chiefs have on the table is you know, feasible. It's possible, depending on what the Chiefs want to do, what Jones would agree to here. But if he's looking for, you know, this long-term, you know, this $20 million-plus a year thing, and that's his bottom line, I think the Chiefs are probably going to have to go longer than that to satisfy him.
Adam Teicher is our guest. Adam, also, the Chiefs bring back Matt Moore at backup quarterback. They already have Chad Henne. They brought in Jordan Te'amu. And so that's the quarterback room right now. What's your reaction to Matt Moore returning to the Chiefs?
Well, that's an interesting move because what's the need for another veteran quarterback unless – you're thinking in terms of, you know, hey, is COVID going to interrupt the season? I mean, are we going to need, you know, what if something happens to Pat? What if something happens to Chad Henne? I think maybe this is an interesting move that would speak to that, that maybe, you know, the Chiefs are trying to get a little more depth there, proven depth, because, you know, maybe they'll keep four this year because of all the uncertainty. So going to be interesting to see how that sorts itself out. It is an interesting move that, you know, looks on the surface to be unnecessary, but you know there's something more to it. So, you know, it could be that the Chiefs feel like this year of all years, they're going to need to arm themselves a little better at the most important position rather than just going in with Mahomes, one veteran backup, and then a young developmental guy.
So who's is Moore the number two now that he's on the team? Because didn't Andy Reid say back last year that he and Henne were pretty much neck and neck?
Yeah, well, I mean, I would think the situation's fluid, but I would think Chad Henne would be their number two guy. I mean, they clearly chose Chad Henne over Matt Moore when the offseason started. So you know, unless something's changed to flip that situation, I got to believe that Henne would be above Moore, at least when things get started. But who knows how this thing could play out, you know. You know, Matt Moore's got two games under his belt for the Chiefs where he played pretty well. You know, they won a big game against the Vikings with him at quarterback last year. If they don't win that one, you know, they're playing in the first round of the playoffs. So, you know, hey, I you know, the Chiefs have seen what he can do in game situations. But you know, something would have to change there because they obviously chose Chad Henne first.
Adam Teicher is our guest. Adam, I enjoyed following along with this debate that lasted a couple of days on Twitter, and so I thought it might be an interesting topic to bring up with you. And so Jeremy Fowler, again, on ESPN, he talked to different people, I think players, coaches, and execs in the NFL, and he's compiling top 10 lists as far as at each position. And then and so he came up with the top 10 tackles, offensive tackles in the league, left tackle, right tackle, whatever. And Mitch Schwartz wasn't anywhere on the top 10. And that just seems like that seems mind-blowing to me. And so his brother, Jeff Schwartz, tweets out, "My brother not being included in top 10 lists is horse blank. He's been all pro 4 straight years, doesn't allow the quarterback to get touched. The disrespect towards his game has always been wild to me." And so then that debate started. Nick Lecky, I thought, said something. I thought he put it very well, being a former offensive lineman. He said, "I think he gets disrespected because his game is similar to Tim Duncan in basketball. Perfect fundamentals, never makes mistakes, makes the game look easy and boring. I think his game is sublime and only appreciated by those who have a deep understanding of offensive line play. Because he's not recognized as a great athlete, you know, not a guy that would test out well at the combine, but his technique is fantastic, his hand placement, his competitive streak, and the results. So why does he get snubbed so much when there's talk of the best tackles in football?"
I don't know. I mean, yeah, that's one poll that kind of surprised me to see him not be in there. But, you know, I think there are certain players that for whatever reason, you kind of have to see them on a down-to-down basis. You just know this consistency. You know what you get, you know, every single play over the course of a long season before you really appreciate it. You know, I'm going back a few years here, but I remember Marcus Allen when he played for the Chiefs. You look at the stats, they're good, not necessarily great, but all the little things he did, I mean, I think you had to see him on a down-to-down basis to really appreciate what a great player Marcus Allen was, all the little dirty little things, what a great pass blocker he was, and just all the little things he does. You know, I kind of put Mitch Schwartz in that regard, you know, or in that category. And, you know, he's good enough to win a Super Bowl with, right? We know that. So I just feel like the Chiefs appreciate him. You know, they showed that last year when they gave him the contract extension. So I just feel like, you know, it's a fun thing to debate, but the Chiefs aren't the ones debating it. I mean, they would take Mitch Schwartz in a heartbeat over some of those guys who were in the top 10, I'm sure.
And look, you're talking about a guy that he's named all pro. He's elite. Yeah. And so Fowler, I thought, so then he tweeted this out, and then everyone chopped this apart. Says, "Yes, Schwartz is a snub, really good player, great numbers across the board, but the truth is the NFL doesn't look at Schwartz the way the media does. Teams prioritize traits above most things. And Schwartz is an inferior athlete to these 10. And so again, but then, so then everyone, and all these different other experts and offensive line, I'm like, what are you talking about? It's production. You're not talking about, okay, you can see that when they're evaluating a draft prospect and they're looking at traits and they're looking at projectability. You're talking about a guy that his production is fantastic. There's no question about that. You know, so you're not trying to project him out and look at traits. And someone pointed out, that's why the NFL misses on offensive linemen so much, because sometimes they look at the wrong things, get caught up looking at the wrong things. And I thought it was just a fascinating give and take back and forth at the way how Mitchell Schwartz is viewed around the league.
Yeah, well, I know Jeremy didn't pick these himself. He talked to a bunch of people around the league, the personnel guys, and that was kind of the consensus top 10 right there. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know what they're looking at, to be honest with you, because I don't get that. I mean, I do think that Mitch Schwartz belongs in the top 10, and certainly, you can sort of, the Chiefs have won the division title every year since he got here. Now, is he directly responsible for that? No, but, you know, that he's a big part of that. So, you know, he's kind of just one of those guys who's destined to get overlooked for whatever reason, but it's got nothing to do with the way he plays. I mean, he's earned everything he's gotten.
He doesn't give up any sacks. I mean, you know, like
and durability. I mean, I don't care. I factor that in. Durability is second to none.
He did miss those like four snaps in that one game last year for the first time in his career. So yeah, maybe he got graded down for that. I don't know, but I don't get it. I really don't. I think you know, he's a superb player, and I'd take him anytime on my team for sure.
Okay, Adam. Back to a little more serious of a topic here. The NFL and the NFL Players Associations are reportedly scheduled to meet today in hopes of agreeing to terms for a return to work. There are all kinds of things going on here between the players wanting testing every single day and no preseason games. The league wants testing not quite as frequently than the players, like something like every other day. They want two preseason games. We know there was a little bit of, I don't know what the right word is, tension in this last round of collective bargaining agreement negotiations. Not all the players were necessarily on board with signing this last CBA. Do you think this one's going to get settled with relative labor peace, or could this thing get ugly the way that baseball did earlier this summer?
Yeah, no, I would never assume that it couldn't get ugly. I mean, there's always that possibility when you got two sides that have sort of different ways they're looking at this, you know, and so, yeah, I definitely think it could. And maybe one of the ways it shows up is a number of guys just say, you know what, I'm not playing this year. I think that's definitely a possibility, too. So, I do think it could get ugly. Going to be interesting to see. You know, the league really hasn't. We're about, what, 10-9 days away from the Chiefs supposed to rookies, I think, supposed to be reporting for camp next Wednesday, I believe it is, and so we're 9 days away, and the league really hasn't announced anything about starting dates or anything like that, so it's possible this thing gets pushed back a little bit, until there's some kind of agreement or until the league says, well, this is how we're doing it, regardless of what the players want, I do think there's a possibility for that.
What did you think about the information, the release that was sent out by the Chiefs last week concerning season tickets and how they're going to handle that and the possibility of single game tickets? There was a lot there, but again, that was something that was it seemed like reality hit a lot of people I don't know how you could be surprised, but we're surprised by that, and a lot of season ticket holders were very angry.
Well, you knew this was coming. I mean, either all of them were going to get left out or some of them were going to get left out. And that's just the way it was going to be. And, other teams are going to be facing this too, but they're not the defending Super Bowl champs. So, what are the Chiefs? You know, I'm kind of with the Chiefs on this one. There's no easy solutions here. I don't know what they could have done, to satisfy the problem here. So, some people are just going to be watching on TV or buying single game tickets if they can. Because that's going to be the way it goes this season for sure.
How optimistic are you, or pessimistic are you? We keep asking this in every sport, it seems like, with the ability to pull off the sport that we're talking about at the time. So in this case, NFL football. Like, what do you think in terms of how hard it's going to be to try to get this thing started and get a whole season in this year with what's going on?
Yeah, well, I've been saying this all along, guys. My feeling hasn't changed. You know, the NFL season, starting from the start of training camp on through the preseason, regular season, and playoffs to the Super Bowl, 28 weeks approximately. Do we really think we're going to get through 28 weeks without some kind of interruption? I just feel like that's not realistic. I mean, hey, it's all what we're all hoping for. That would be a really good sign, not just for the NFL, but for football as well, or our society as well, but it's just hard to see right now with the way everything's going. And you look at some of the problems that some of the other sports have had in getting restarted here, and why would the NFL be immune to a lot of that? So it's going to be a challenge for sure. And again, I'm really hoping with everybody else, but I'm not confident that it's going to come to be.
Adam Teicher from ESPN has been our guest, and some of the other things we're going to be talking about today in that meeting is equipment modifications. The NFL's been working with Oakley on yet-to-be-revealed design there, economics, opt-out clauses for players, the roster size, acclimation period. I mean, there's still a lot there to settle, and so we'll see what comes out of that. What comes out of that today, Adam? Thank you very much for the time. We appreciate it, and we will talk to you next week.
Good stuff, Stephen. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Thank you, Adam. That is Adam Teicher, and again, sources said that NFL and NFLPA management councils are expected to meet today in hopes of agreeing to terms on a return to work. The players held a call on Friday during which leadership said it would have more answers early this week. And that's, I don't know how that's going to work. It'll be interesting to all the different topics that have not been finalized, but are issues that need to be hashed out. Players want a slow ramp up from working out to taking the practice field to avoid injuries and to get comfortable in the new working environment. And like I said, the NFL's been working with Oakley on a yet-to-be-revealed design as far as masks, wearing masks over the helmet bars, and then the economics, how to share the revenue, the lost revenue, with players knowing they have to take a loss somewhere to offset the lack of fans in the stands, but with the league's offer to place 35% of salaries in escrow considered a non-starter. So we'll see if they can handle this any better than baseball did. Let's take a break. Nate is going to recall the final 10 minutes of the sporting game from last night for you live right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.